The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics. Please allow me to introduce myself. And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show live on Brady Street, Milwaukee, Compali. The occasion, the RNC MKE 2024, about a mile from where we are today. I was in the bowl today. Before there was a J.D. Nance vice presidency, there was Crudy taking selfies in the bowl. Wanted to thank our most recent guest before we introduce you to a new one. Dom, Matt Flynn, our very direct friend, and he's been busy writing books, hunting Bertie Weber, the newest. You can find it at Amazon, but I recommend a local bookstore. Look around.
Boswell Books right down the street here.
Oh,
that's right.
Local
absolutely, right.
Downer
right.
Avenue. Yeah.
Right over here, right. Go over and purchase some copies.
Well, James Santella, our newest guest and a book aficionado, you give many reading assignments.
I don't
read them all. That's why we have you on the show.
Right.
Former U.S. attorney, host of Amicus, a law review on Saturday mornings, 9 to 11, with the Civic Media Network. And, Jim, a fine guest here at the Compali today. Thanks for coming down.
Yeah, delighted to be with you, as always.
Always.
Great to be back here in Brady Street. Also, it's back to old
times.
We got
a lot of years,
right,
Jim?
Right across the street here.
Great setting. Bad news, though, at least from the legal perspective. Eileen Cannon, the Trump appointee, West Palm Beach, the classified documents, the paperwork crimes.
The espionage case.
Right. The national security case, right?
Dismissed because of a special counsel concurrence from Clarence Thomas. Clarence threw something in the immunity ruling like, so much, look at the special counsel. And she throws out the charges against Trump today. What the hell does this mean, Jim?
What is going on, right? And so you've got Clarence Thomas, about 2 weeks ago, this 9-page concurrence, vaguely dissenting, also saying, I wouldn't have gone down this road. I would have simply found that special counsel isn't sufficiently constitutionally firm. And she picks up on that today. And it's the same thing. Clarence Thomas, his content is hers as well. She does it in 93 pages. He did it in 9. But it's to the same effect. It is not just dramatic. That is understating it cosmically. This is outrageous, candidly. It is a decision that is premised not upon law, not upon facts. And this has been decided. The Supreme Court has decided this very issue.
But she has more words, Jim.
She does. And again, if you read this opinion, you get the sense, oh, this sounds legitimate, right? You've got a lot of cites in there. You've got a lot of legal references. She makes this decision premised upon virtually nothing in the end. And contrary, again, to the Supreme Court, has addressed this. Lower courts. Trump appointed federal judges and Biden appointed judges, Obama appointed judges have all ruled this process where you've got an appointment through the special counsel regulation. It is constitutional, no issue. This has been decided. It is simply pulling this up once again and saying we're going to seize upon one of 7 motions that Donald Trump has presented to her. I'm going to seize on this one. I'm going to go with it. She makes it very clear at the end of her opinion. This is over. She's canceling everything. No more hearings, no more deadlines, nothing. She is done with that. And that's maybe the only good thing about this is that it's final.
So what does Jack Smith do now?
So, right. So he's got 3 alternatives. One is to do nothing And he could. Unlikely that will happen, right? Although I have to believe that Jack Smith is melting down right now, thinking I'm going to go back to The Hague and prosecute some crimes there where there's some real justice being done. Second, the one everybody's talking about is to appeal this to the 11th Circuit. We remember well, the 11th Circuit said to Eileen Cannon about a year and a half ago, you are completely dead wrong in trying to pursue the end of this investigation through a civil matter. Put her back in her place. She gets assigned to this case. Here's the third one that Matt just made reference to, which is what I would do under these circumstances, and that is this. All right, let's assume the special counsel situation is not constitutional. That's a huge assumption. That's wrong. Even so, what do you have left? You've got the criminal division inside the U.S. Department of Justice. You go back to those people. Remember those times when we were on this show talking about my charging the attorney general with being special counsel happy?
Right.
We're doing too much of this. Well, now go back. Go back to the civil servants there, the people who do this regularly, and say to them, you know what? I've got this file. It has been dismissed, but not with prejudice, which is a fancy way of saying we can go back and re-bring these charges again. Go back to a grand jury. Find, again, probable cause, which you will, and that'll be enough.
But, counselor, if we do it that way, if we utilize the normal channels, the Department of Justice, a Trump presidency effectively ends that investigation. However, my understanding, sir, if the special counselor is put in place, that would survive the term of the presidency. Am I correct, Jim?
It would. It would, absolutely. But you still remember that the special counsel still, even though there's this arm's-length relationship with the attorney general, you call up your attorney general and say, you know what? You got to terminate this, and he will still do that. The thing that going back and re-indicting now will get you time, right? Again, there may not be a lot of time at all. Who knows what happens in November? But the appeal to the 11th Circuit, that's going to get us way into 2026, maybe beyond. You can turn around, and even for purposes of rule of law in America, turn around and indict this case again next month. Bring it back in. Bring Donald Trump back into the federal system. Don't wait for this process to play out over the period of months, maybe even years, in the 11th Circuit. Get it underway. You can do that without any impediment. I know there'll be political pushback on it, but basically right now, that's the world in which we're living anyway, right?
James Santel, former U.S. attorney. Jim, if – honestly, how can I put it? Wasn't the whole reason that Garland, put in the special counsel,
right,
that we've done special counsels before in the past, it's all been adjudicated already, number one, wasn't that done to prevent any sort of political kind of thing,
right,
perception of a political bias? And number two, why do you have to pull a new grand jury? I mean, you just got the case. Can't you just bring the case over?
Right. So you're absolutely right. Again, this is my criticism of the attorney general. At a time when he perceived the previous Department of Justice to be politicized, let's come back, let's tell the American people, we're not like that. We're going to appoint all these special counsels, which he's done a lot of, right? Remember Robert Hur? He was a special counsel for Joe Biden. David Weiss, we need to talk about that. He's the guy who's on the Hunter Biden cases,
yep.
Right? That survives this as well. But the idea behind it was, let's send a message to the American public that we are not political and we've got this arm's length relationship. That's what he did. Again, I was not a big fan of that. Here we are once again. You have now dismissed all the proceedings up until that point, including effectively the grand jury.
Okay.
You do have to represent. That's the process under the federal system. But you can do it. You can do it. And again, it's not a matter of calling in a grand jury. You can go to that courthouse we're seeing on the feed here right now and say the grand jury meets routinely. You can present over a period of days or weeks, whatever you need, the sufficient evidence to establish probable cause. And maybe you want to refine the indictment. And oh, by the way, the other thing you can do, you've got other venues. Remember, we talked about this. You can go into the Washington, D.C. courthouse. You don't have to go back to Fort Pierce in Florida. Maybe even go into New Jersey. Remember that? We've got some tendril there.
Exactly,
right. You can find venue in other places. Probably D.C. is the best one. That's where he took the documents from. You're going to get a motion on that as well. But
to my point, though, that goes against the whole initial reason for the political perception.
Absolutely.
So does it? But they're going to say political no matter
absolutely.
What.
Absolutely. It does. It pulls all that back and says, okay. But it also goes back to a time when the Department of Justice, as I've said so many times, that's what we do, right? That's what we do. We prosecute political crimes. We prosecute people in the political realm for engaging in crimes all the time, right?
Senator Menendez,
Democrats and Republicans, yep. Menendez and Biden, we can go back and identify all. That's what the Department of Justice justice does, that's what has to happen now to get this underway, regardless of how long it lasts. If the next president, who may be Donald Trump, comes in and says, I don't like any of this, he can get this dismissed. If it's in front of the 11th Circuit, he can get it dismissed in front of if it's in front of a trial judge in the District of Columbia, either one of those. But the more expedient way of doing this is to get this reindicted promptly.
Our fine guest, James Santel. Let's talk about the Chutkan court, the Jack Smith. And we know that the U.S. Supreme Court not only rolled out an immunity ruling, but the week prior dismissed a couple of the charges effectively, or it could be held that they should be or could be dropped against Trump, depending on the specificity of his case.
Right.
But anyways, here's the greater point. Chutkan has been assigned by the U.S. Supreme Court to differentiate the official acts from the private acts. And all I've ever really cared about in this world, Jim Santel, is that the evidence of Trump's insurrection plays out before the American people. Will this mini trial in Chutkan's courtroom, and my understanding, the judge has already said she has a willingness to set aside a European vacation because history demands
some action on this.
Jim, when are the mini trials? Will we, the American people, see the evidence of official acts or unofficial acts of insurrection, let's just say, and will this happen before the election,
We begin with the notion once again that Michael Dreeben, the guy who argued this case in front of the Supreme Court, said, members of the Supreme Court, what you're advocating here is craziness, this notion of dividing between official and unofficial, personal and other things. That's craziness. He talked about this integrated conspiracy, Mike, which is what you're describing. You can't do that. Even so, that's what the Supreme Court has given to the most beleaguered judge in America right now, who now has to figure out what they said in that case, including things like dividing this all up. Presumably, she's going to have these pretrial motion hearings. If I were she, frankly, given in the wake of the Supreme Court order, what I would say to both sides is you submit memorandums to me about what is left. When the Supreme Court describes and says that anything related to the Department of Justice, that is absolutely immune, that carves out a big portion. You can't inquire into motive or intent. You can't present evidence of official acts to prove unofficial things and crimes. My sense is that there may not be a lot to prosecute here at all, but she's got to do that, and she's got to figure out what, if anything, is left of this case. Again, I think Jack Smith has a lot of work in front of him, as does she.
As do we. The happier happy hour has just begun. We got a fine guest. He is James Santel. We are in Milwaukee for the RNC. We're at Kimpali tomorrow. It's tequila and tacos for everyone. You can join us here. But today, it's just our little private party catching up, kicking off the RNC and the dismissal of the classified documents case in Florida. More James Santel, more Devils.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling Devils advocates.
Welcome back to the Devils Advocates Radio Show, broadcasting live from Kimpali on Brady Street in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Big party coming here tomorrow. Join us 3 to 6 p.m. right now. We have our friend James Santel, host of Amicus.
That's right.
On Saturdays here on the Civic Media Network, 9 to 11 a.m. Central, talking about Jack Smith. Here's the breaking news. Special counsel Jack Smith revealed today he plans to appeal the dismissal of Trump's secret documents case. That's the espionage case. Here is a quote.
No, that's not what the counselor said.
He wasn't taking my calls during the day, so not surprised by this news.
The dismissal of the case deviates from the uniform conclusion of all previous courts.
He's right about
that. And have considered the issue that Attorney General is statutorily authorized to appoint a special counsel. The Justice Department has authorized the special counsel to appeal the court's order.
There you go. And that's the Attorney General saying, yeah, we got to take this up. And he's probably thinking about the future, too, not only of this administration, future administrations, not the last time. So you do need to have, I suppose, some clarity once again, right?
I mean, how many times do we have to do this?
This is kind of like the immunity situation. Right? We need to know this again in 2024 that there's not a president who is a king, but apparently we do that in America right now. But
apparently
but again,
a president is a king. I mean, is that the takeaway from that?
Absolutely, and that's the notion.
So you keep throwing it at the wall long enough after a few decades. Yeah, you know, right? I guess we decided, no, you can't do a special counsel anymore because we got different folks on the Supreme Court.
Right. It's the same kind of thing. All these motions pending in front of her until this morning, the same kinds of things, interpretations of the law that are just have just been rejected for years and years, and yet we're entertaining them seriously, right? And we didn't have to issue any of these orders, but it goes to that same notion that once you've stated it once, you will go back and rearticulate, remove again the same thing, and hoping that one day somebody will say, yeah, maybe there is a real there.
It seems very legislative and not very legal to me, man.
Right. Yep, it absolutely is. Absolutely is. And, you know, the other part of this, of course, as we said before, she issues this 93-page order. I promise you don't put that together since last Friday night.
Yeah,
this has been pending for a long time. During that time, we all know, she's been having hearings. She's been entertaining motions, all these kinds of things. It's a little disingenuous, candidly.
Giving her time to get her homework done.
Exactly. Maybe that's it. The law clerks are back in the chambers writing feverishly, but she knew all along. And frankly, if she was going to down this road, something we've talked about before on this show, it's a seminal issue. It's a threshold issue, right? Whether or not the prosecutor can do this, you take that up first, right? Tell us that a year ago when she was first given this case. You don't wait until now unless you've got a different motive and that motive to delay.
Our fun guest, James Santel, he is the host of Amicus, a law review on the Civic Media Network, 9 to 11 Saturday mornings. Jim, obviously the very troubling news, the assassination attempt.
Right.
A domestic terrorism act, because apparently this shooter also had explosives in his car. Jim, troubling the amount of access, the 148 yards estimated distance he gained to the president. The shooter apparently was confronted by local police, pointed his gun at the guy, and the guy backed down the ladder. And there had been varying reports, Jim, of whether or not this guy was actually in the sniper's sight before he pulled the trigger.
Whether the shooter
questions.
Was in the sights of Secret Service snipers that were positioned on two different rooftops over the president.
And eventually took him out, but not before then, right? Yeah.
So, I mean, Jim, this is crazy. This guy's using an AR-15, a long rifle. It is very conceivable that this could have been a tragic outcome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely tragic. I mean, you may mention also the AR-15. That's a semi-automatic weapon. As an aside, the Supreme Court has recently told us that, you know what you can do? You can go out right now and you can buy a bump stock and turn that into a machine gun. Could you imagine if he had gotten one of those?
It would have
been just absolute massacre. It's tragic already beyond belief, even more dramatic in the wake of what the Supreme Court has done. This whole guns mentality.
Two people shot in critical condition.
Another one killed.
Yeah.
The former president nearly killed. All of that is absolutely tragic. A few things. Absolutely, this is the kind of thing, whenever we had visitors like this to Milwaukee Eastern District, you always spend a lot of time at the Secret Service, FBI, preparing not only venues. There has got to be an investigation. There is. There will be. The president's ordered that. The attorney general, the Secretary of Homeland Security, all of that will be the subject of an awful lot of focus of what went wrong here. And again, it's a combination, plainly, of local law enforcement, as you just said, Mike, federal law enforcement. We got to figure that out. And then we got to answer the larger questions, which is gun culture in America, right? This has got to end, and you'd like to think that as the Republicans gather here in Milwaukee, one of the things that they would say, they won't, but we've got to begin to re-understand what the Second Amendment does and does not mean. It does not mean that you've got a right to carry these weapons of mass destruction in our cities in 2024.
You know, I met a delegate from California named Mindy. She owned several AR-15. She was quick to point out, and, you know, they ain't giving up their guns.
Absolutely, right.
That
right.
will not be a conversation in the platform, on the floor, from the debates, from the RNC stage. This is not part of their platform.
Well, Jim, but the conversation maybe doesn't change. You know, word is that maybe Trump is going to rewrite his speech, become more,
inclusive
united.
Somehow,
what's your sense of what the conversation has been like since, and what's your expectation from the megas down here in Milwaukee this week?
You like to think that. It is difficult in the wake of 8-10 years of Donald Trump to believe that we're going to get a speech, whether it's a Thursday night or even before then, that really is that inclusive thing that we need right now. I was stricken by the fact that right after this happened, he did place on his own social media outlet two or three things that sounded reasonable. I wondered out loud whether he had actually written those, because not only were they complete in terms of conjugating verbs, but also they had some sense about them. He expressed concern for the people who had been killed, injured, expressed support for obviously local law enforcement, federal law enforcement.
And were there all caps or weirdly capitalized words throughout it?
Exactly, right? If not, you know that somebody else has written it. It struck me as that balance you're talking about. We'll see whether that continues. I am very doubtful that will happen because, again, that's not what, to your point, Mike, that's not what the audience is looking for.
Jim, I was assured there would be no conjugating of verbs on the air today. Former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus, a law review on the Civic Media Network, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11, and a good friend of ours, James Santel. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure to be with you.
Partying up. What? I wish you'd drink tequila with them.
One of these days, back here on Brady, right?
All our healthy friends.
You're too upstanding. Devolve into devilness with us. Thank you so much. Your calls. You can join us here or hit the text line. Same number, 844-967-2789.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, live in Milwaukee. RNC MKE 2024. You know, this should have been a Democratic party. Dems know how to party better.
Oh, man. You know, we can never go back and get that time back.
No one parties like the Devil's Advocates Party, and you can be a part of the party tomorrow, Kampali on Brady Street. I assure you, I've been in Milwaukee all day long. You can get here. There's no traffic. This is not snarled like the Green Zone is. So I've invited everyone. It's a bipartisan taco and tequila event at Kampali on
Everybody
Brady Street.
Everybody likes tacos, and most people like tequila.
Everyone I met today. People on the street, Anthony, Mindy, Alejandro,
Alvin.
Everybody got invited for tacos and tequila. And also want to thank our most recent guest, a fine one, invited him as well. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, friend of ours, host of a fine show in its own regard. Amicus, a law review every Saturday morning on the Civic Media Network. But, you know, we know you tuned in for the best. And you're going to get the best right now to the top of the hour. You know, so much news.
The loudest band in the world, Kiss?
You've wanted the best. You got the best. 844-967-2789. I mean, what a tremendous news day. You've got a presidential assassination attempt over the weekend. First one that I recall since like 1981, at least, that has been made public. I mean, not even during Obama. This is pretty rarefied stuff. Then you have Eileen Cannon, the Trump appointee, throwing out the classified documents case in Florida. That is a huge news story in and of itself. You got Trump rolling out his vice presidential pick.
J.D. Vance,
hillbilly elegy himself, Yale-educated lawyer J.D. Vance. So anyways, I find him particularly distasteful. I was invited on the Foxy News back when they used to invite me. And I recall they asked me, what do you think of J.D. Vance? I said,
like, who?
I knew who J.D. Vance was. This was during his senatorial race. And I said, I don't like the guy. And I don't like anyone that does like the guy. I find this guy particularly distasteful. But now he's the Republican vice presidential ticket.
Well, and the Biden-Harris campaign did respond. Jen O'Malley, the spokesperson, telling Axios that Vance was picked because he'll do what Mike Pence wouldn't do on January 6th, bend over backwards to enable Trump and his extreme mega agenda, even if that means breaking the law and no matter the harm to the American people. Pence was vilified by MAGA as Raw Story reports after he refused to dismiss Biden's election on January 6th. Vance will make it his mission, quote-unquote, to enact Project 2025, the far-right GOP agenda compiled by numerous Trump allies. The plan includes, again, Vance, the playbook for the first 180 days of a hypothetical second Trump term, including expanding executive power of the commander-in-chief, replacing tens of thousands of federal workers with Trump loyalists, what could go wrong, and dismantling the administrative state. Quote, this is someone who supports banning abortion nationwide while criticizing exceptions for rape and incest survivors. Railed against the Affordable Care Act, including its protections for millions with pre-existing conditions, and has admitted he would have certified, J.D. Vance would not have certified the free and fair election in 2020, the Biden campaign said. Vance's biggest supporters are billionaires and corporations, the campaign said. They know he and Trump will cut their taxes and send prices skyrocketing for everyone else. J.D. Vance, make America wealthy. Again.
That's today's theme. Dom, I've got a statement from the Democratic Party of the great state of Wisconsin, where we're at right now. Chairman Ben Wickler, a recent guest on the show. Here is his statement today. The stakes of this election just got impossibly higher. You've done that once or twice.
You can always get higher.
In the year since J.D. Vance called Trump out as reprehensible, he managed to reinvent himself as a MAGA true believer, praising Trump's extreme Project 2025 agenda for including good ideas and coming out in force for a national abortion ban without exceptions for rape or incest. Meanwhile, we know Trump's true test for a vice president, a willingness to betray an oath and violate our Constitution in order to keep Trump in power. Should Donald Trump win another term in the White House, there's no question that J.D. Vance would put loyalty to Trump and the GOP's extreme agenda over the country. In election after election, we've seen Wisconsinites reject the extreme anti-freedom Trump-Vance agenda, and they'll do it again this November. That, our friend Ben Wickler, Democratic Party Wisconsin chair, you're all our friends when you join us on the phones. You could be first next. 844-967-2789. Go into the phones, Dom. Don't you
Let's
think?
Get to it. Rich, I know you're going to – let's pull up the J.D. Vance supercut from – that's fine, Lincoln Project. When you get a minute, we'll take the phone calls right now. Once again, 844-967-2789. Let's get to it. Who has been the most loyal and patient? It is Mark. Welcome, Mark.
It is a test of loyalty here, Mark. And you passed.
You passed it. Congratulations. Welcome to the show, man. What do you got for us?
Thanks, guys. But, yeah, J.D. Vance, Mr. Feral Eyes, J.D. Vance, the mascara he apparently wears around his eyes. That or is he Rocky Horrible from a new Rocky Horrible picture show that is, just occurs to me for that guy. I mean, that for the events over the weekend, with the guy with an AR rifle, I mean, it just we're fortunate the guy couldn't afford a bump stock, because of that, he would have
had a
newly approved thing, enhancement to his... More people would have died, and Trump would have been among them, more than likely. I mean, it just is terrible.
Well, you hate to speculate such a thing, Mark, but on the other hand, the Republicans would use this circumstance, and it is a tragedy. People died. But they would use this circumstance to claim the providence of God laid his hand upon Trump's shoulder. And, you know, I'd like to think I'm a Christian man, Dom, but I'm not willing to throw God in the Trump column quite yet. I did ask a guy
if
today,
my sports team wins, it's because God had a, you know, took the line.
Lions.
Never stop believing, baby.
Plus 7.
844-967-2789. Thank you, Mark.
You are wearing a Lions t-shirt, man.
I am, man. That's what I'm telling you, man. Don't stop believing.
1957.
World champions, baby. 844-967-2789.
I know Matt Flynn was alive then, but you weren't.
Hey, Rich, do we have the Lincoln? Okay, so the Lincoln Project, they went up, got the supercut of J.D. Vance and what he thought about Donald Trump, you know, back in the day a few years ago. The first couple of comments are not J.D., but the rest are. If you would, please, Rich, play it for the people.
For President Donald J. Trump and J.D. Vance.
J.D. Vance.
Terrible candidate. Idiot if you voted for him. Might be America's Hitler. Might be a cynical a-hole. Cultural heroin. Noxious and reprehensible.
But I can't stomach Trump. I think that he's noxious and is leading the white working class to a very dark place.
He's leading our political discourse to a very negative place.
If Trump is elected president, he has to be a much different president than he was a candidate. As a candidate, he was fundamentally divisive, arrogant.
I'm a never Trump guy. I never liked him.
He likes him enough to take the job. J.D. Vance is now your mega Republican candidate, a vice presidential candidate handpicked by the orange man. Congratulations, J.D. Welcome to the party, pal.
You know, one other big breaking important political news item. Joe Biden doing an interview with Lester Holt, NBC Tonight. They're releasing excerpts. Biden apparently called Trump, wished him well, said, "I was concerned." Well, I think that's appropriate. The president of the United States addressed the nation and tried to tone down the rhetoric.
Yes, a real human being who has experienced loss in his life, showing empathy and grace towards his political rival. That'd be great if, like, some other political candidates could do the same.
Now, I have heard varying reports that Trump went golfing, and I heard that was not true. I even heard on Right Wing Talk Radio this morning, you know, I tuned in this morning to see what...
You do so we don't have to.
I do that so you don't have to. I tuned into Right Wing Talk Radio. I tuned into Dan O'Donnell. He was doing his little song and dance from the Wisconsin Center. He had Speaker of the House Mike Johnson this morning. But anyways, he's telling this story, and I know it's a fiction because I've already seen it politifacted. Trump did not go golfing yesterday. That
after
did not
after
happen.
The assassination attempt.
And I think Dan knew, and he's a lawyer. He said, "I don't even know if this story is true."
Qualify it, but say it anyway.
But I'm going to tell it. I'm going to tell it on the radio at the RNC and, you know, act like I'm a big shot. So anyways, he tells this story. Trump was on the golf course yesterday, and he had a long putt, and he lines it up.
Oh, God.
And he drains it. And he says, "Unlike the shooter, I don't miss." And that was what Dan O'Donnell, right-wing talk radio host, Righty Whitey guy, you know him, like Milwaukee, Madison.
Building the mythology, man.
And he doesn't know if it's true, but it didn't stop him from telling this
say
story.
It anyway.
And I can tell you with some accuracy, because it's been politifacted, it's not freaking true. Trump did not go golfing on Sunday. Hell, he was in Milwaukee on Sunday snarling the traffic. Dan O'Donnell, you know that, you freaking liar.
What is true? The greatest radio show ever, The Devil's Advocates, 844-967-2789. Your test of loyalty, Cam, from Appleton, Wisconsin. You have passed. Welcome, Cam. What do you got for us?
Hey, Cam.
Hey, guys. I think I get a little confused that, like, why so much of what has been talked about it so far. Okay. I'm sure, like many others, we all looked online. We're like trying to find news on what was going on, right?
Yeah.
And the internet was very ugly, and it gets very condensed when and concentrated because it's so easy to see all the negative because that gets interactions, and interactions get bumped up to the top. It's the standard stuff, right? Everything happens like that. A lot of the information was misinformation, but then there was some information that was true that came out that showed that the shooter was a registered Republican and had voted in an election at one point, and I think that's being skirted under the rug a little too hard, and all these threats against liberals or left wing also got skirted as if they never even said those things to people randomly with such ease. They were ready to say it, and now they're not justified in saying it. Well, justified in quotations, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I remember the top of the ticket, President Trump, as they always call him, called us vermin. And fake news media and far worse than that many, many times.
Well, I certainly was not cordial and graceful about the tragedy of Paul Pelosi, the former Speaker of the House's husband, who was attacked with a hammer. He made fun of that attack while in front of a crowd. So, lots of misinformation. Look, if anything positive comes out of it, and hopefully the people that were injured will heal, and our condolences go out to those who were the person who was killed, to actually dial down all that, that'd be great. But you go online, you go to the Twitter. I mean, Twitter's terrible, man. It's like the biggest buzzkill ever. You ever want to get the worst of yourself? Go to Twitter, and I did. And I was like, you got to be freaking kidding me. The things that people are saying.
Why would you do that?
Because that's, I don't know. It's the dirtiest. If you want to find out the dirt, man, that's where the dirt should
I thought
it.
You were day drinking all weekend.
I was.
Twitter death doom scrolling, man. Right. Don't do that.
I tried not to, but then I had to because we got to do a show. 844-967-2789. Wisco Paul, you are loyal. Welcome, Paulie. What do you got?
Hey, Paul.
Hey, thanks for what you do, Devils. Happy you're down there. I don't know if you are, but I'm happy you're down there. I don't have
You time. Could join us, Paulie. We're having a party here.
Yeah,
at the,
man. Come tomorrow, dude.
Tomorrow.
It's going to be a party. I'll buy
Taco
you a shot.
Tuesday, Paulie.
Hey, how hard is it going to actually be to get there? I mean, you
it's not bad. Not hard at all, man.
Not bad.
As long as you skirt downtown, you skirt the security zone. Man, it's easy to get around because it's all concentrated down there. Just stay away from the downtown, that part of downtown, you're fine.
We can get you in, Paul.
I've been driving it all weekend.
All right, I'll take you up on that. Hey, quickly, somebody from the Secret Service is going to have to drop on your sword or whatever because that assassination attempt should have never happened. It just shouldn't have. So somebody's going to take a hit on that one.
Yeah.
I don't know
who,
but it should have never should have. Do I have a second? I'll give you one example. I was at a concert here a couple, 3 weeks ago. There were SWAT teams on top of the buildings over Bree Stevens Field, for God's sake, at all the high buildings over there. And it's just
which concert?
Well, that was Addison Krauss and Robert Plant. It's a pretty good concert.
Man. Anyway. Former lead singer of Led Zeppelin, man. You got to protect the rock and roll. Thanks for the call, Paul.
I am wearing my Secret Service credentials. That means I'm not one of the bad guys. This will get me on the roof over where Civic Media is broadcasting. Come back! Live from Kampali, RNC MKE 2024 Devils on the Road for the Love of Democracy Tour.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocate.
And welcome back to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now on the lines, 844-967-2789.
Confusing the people with the Detroit Rock City down. We're in Milwaukee.
Hey, I got the Detroit shirt on, baby.
Well, that,
don't stop believing.
That part's true. We are at Kampali Restaurant. You can join us here. It is a Mexican joint. Tomorrow is Taco Tuesday. So you might as well come to the party, tequila and tacos.
Well, you are required to come to the party tomorrow. That's how we're doing it. It's a political party. We're on Brady Street, man. The studio's kitty corner where we used to be for years and years. It's like coming home here.
It is. It is.
3 to 6 tomorrow, Brady Street, Kampali in Milwaukee. Make it happen.
Some points being made, and I'm going through the text line. You know, you can communicate with us there. I follow. I read it all the time, Dom. Hardly ever. L.A. Tom keeps telling us Project 2025 is all that matters. Absolutely. I don't think it's going to be the focus of a lot of the conversations at the RNC, but I can tell you there's a theater over here in the theater district, Dom. It's what they call it, but it's the Heritage Project, Heritage Foundation.
Oh, they're renting out the theater? Like what?
Yeah, they rented out the theater.
Like Riverside or Pabst or what? The Turner Hall? What was it?
One of the smaller ones. I don't want to mislabel the theater.
Sure.
But effectively, it's like, learn all about Project 2025 Day. You know, today is the day.
Go down to the theater. Roll it out, figure it all out, learn everything you can that Trump knows nothing about, but he doesn't like some of it.
A texter says Trump endangered lives when the Secret Service tried to move him, and he made them wait to look for his shoes, and when he stopped to pump his fists and yell, fight, did that a couple times. Well, when you're the target of the assassination attempt, I guess you're allowed to gather your shoes. Apparently, he lost his shoes when he was tackled by the Secret Service agents. And, you know, it's interesting. I have talked to some of the MAGA faithful, and, you know, gun control, not a consideration whatsoever.
No,
AR-15,
no.
Who cares? But what about the Secret Service? Did they do their job? Well, there are some questions being asked.
As well, there should be legitimate questions.
The Washington Post reporting at this hour, about 30 minutes ago, witnesses warned police of the Trump shooter at least 86 seconds before the gunfire, a minute and a half before the gunfire. And he was identified. I had seen video of someone like shooting video holding a camera phone of this
somebody
guy crawling on the roof.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently a cop went up the ladder, and I'm not sure what the communication looked like in this.
My understanding, the shooter pointed the AR-15 at the police officer. The police officer went back down the ladder, yelled, you know, get cover, something along those lines. And then thereafter, the shooter took his shots and then was killed by I'm not sure who took out
Secret
the shooter.
Secret Service snipers, apparently.
Well, they're the ones but they already had eyes on him. So I don't know. It's very strange. And yes, there absolutely should be an investigation. That is an absolute obvious failure of security.
The only night and I've been to a lot of Trump rallies. I've been to a lot of Biden rallies. And you think to yourself, why am I here? Just in case. Well, what's the just in case of what? Well, I always joke, just in case someone throws a shoe like they did at Bush once upon a time. Right?
Iraq, yeah.
I had never, and really the only time I had ever conceived of something more violent, a more violent possible outcome than that, the night I went to Donald Trump in Des Moines, and I told you it was a massive crowd, 40, 45,000. Crudy's estimate, I think the New York Times said 25,000. I've seen 25,000 come out of the Kohl Center-ish. It was bigger than that, a lot bigger. And there were so many snipers, and it was like sunset, and you can see these snipers silhouetted in the sunset.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just like surreal, right? And you're in the crowd, and I'm not engaged with Trump so much as looking at what's happening around. And it was one of the few times I found myself looking at the logistics of this massive crowd, and what if someone's, you know, deep fried crap on a stick is something more than that.
Right. No.
And, you know, what if that person is standing near you and do you want to be standing near that person? Because obviously there were some victims of this assassination attempt. They're calling it domestic terrorism, you know, explosive devices perhaps as well.
A mass shooting maybe. 844-967-2789. Chris, you're up. Our pal Chris from Sun Prairie. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Chris.
Hi. I wanted to bring something up. Matt was talking earlier about that we need to move on and get behind Biden. And I'm very concerned. I'm seeing on CNN, they have a convention on for the Republicans. And what they're doing is they had some inserts there of President Biden had given an interview. And they give him a few minutes of an interview, and then they cut away. And when they cut away, they kind of give their commentary on it, and they're really slanting it quite a bit. And I really find that very disturbing that they're still doing this with this. It's a dead issue. He's talking to them about other things, like what happened over the weekend. And I really think they're putting their fingers on the scale. And I think that this is a direct result of Citizens United, and we really need to get the money out of politics.
Amen, sister. Money out of politics. Thanks for the call.
Dana, from God's country up in La Crosse, I was up in that neck of the woods this weekend, all the way up by Eau Claire, says Trump was worried about getting his shoes back because he knows they have lifts in them, and everyone would know that. You know, if I got my shoes knocked off and assassination attempt, I might try to gather my belongings,
you know,
on the way out.
You never know how you're going to react in a situation like that, what kicks in. Thankfully, he was not assassinated. Unfortunately, other people were shot. Tone it down. Come to a party. Kampali, tomorrow. Tequila, tacos, Brady Street, Milwaukee, RNC, MKE. 2024.
Bipartisan partying. Thank you to our fine guests today. They included author Matt Flynn, our very direct buddy. Look for his new book, Hunting Bernie Weber. And of course, our friend, former U.S. Attorney James Santel. Find his fine show, Amicus Law Review, on the Civic Media Network, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11. Thank you all for joining us. Come on down, party at the Kampali tomorrow. 3
Thanks,
to
Rich.
6, party to follow.